Hey, everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to review, obviously, not a Green Bay Packers football game, but the NFL draft and the Packers draft that just finished over the weekend. Eric, let's dive right in. We haven't heard from you for a while. What's anything about this draft that jumped out to you?
I was a little bit shocked with the first round pick, as I think a lot of people were. But other than that, you know, after I warmed up to it a little bit, I certainly felt a lot better about it after looking at some of the stats that he did at the combine, as well as his age being such a young man, and really being a third year sophomore. Probably stays in the draft for another year and comes out a little bit higher pick, and at least more people know about him. But I think that's been kind of Gutekunst's deal, is he kind of goes and gets guys that fit his mold, bigger, faster, stronger. And size is certainly one of the things that they covet, both on offense and defense. And, you know, so that one was kind of was like, oh, okay. You know, you weren't quite expecting him. But, heck, after looking at some of his stuff and comparing him to Gary, and Gary was kind of the same way. Everybody thought he got drafted too high. And, boy, you know, before the injury, he was pretty special. So I think – you know, with that pick right there, would probably be the one that really jumped out at you as being like, huh. And I guess maybe the other pick was the Penn State quarterback. I think a lot of people weren't even expecting him to get drafted. And see him go in the fifth round, there must have been something there they really liked about him. You know, as a guy who's going to be a development player and someone who probably they feel is going to play within the system, that might be what they're looking for there in that position.
You know, I actually asked a couple scouts if there was a, you know, any kind of comparison with Gary and Lucas Van Ness, is obviously the first pick who we're talking about now. And they said superficially, yeah, like the size, weight, relative, you know, the speed, all that stuff is similar, but that Gary was a better, just a more powerful, better athlete coming out. Which we did see right off the bat. That was the one thing he did show was, you know, pretty good power rush. It's funny you said that about if he'd stuck, because one scout just out of the blue, he just kind of said, you know, the discussion we've been having, talking about in this draft room was, you know, Hutchinson, who was he was the first pick, right? Or was it second pick last year?
Yeah.
He was a fourth-year senior when he left Michigan. And in his third year, his stats were nothing. And then his fourth year, last in 2021, he had, I think it was 14 sacks. And so they were trying to figure out, so if this guy stays at Iowa for another year, is he putting up, you know, 13, 14 sacks? You know, they were trying to figure that out amongst themselves. He was a guy you know, I talked to five people about him. Two really liked him. Two didn't like him much at all. And one guy was kind of intrigued, you know. So that's just like all these players. They were all over the map on him. You know, I don't know what you thought. I, you know, after going through all this stuff, I really thought all things being equal, they would take a tackle over a pass rusher just to help the quarterback. But I was thinking all things being equal, if I'm them, I take the pass rusher. And lo and behold, they did. So, I mean, we'll see how it works out. Who knows if this guy's any good or not, right?
Yeah, I think going into it, I thought pass rusher was the one. The only thing that if Carter kept dropping, then I think that would have been a really tough decision. I know there's some character issues there possibly and a couple of things, but I feel like
I think they would have taken those, him.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard not to at 13 if he kept dropping like that. Yeah. But I thought, you know, I mean, you're going to start the season without Gary. You're going to have, you know, possibly there's some free agents out there that they can bring in and be an older fella or something like that. But they're really going to be stuck there at that position without any premier outside guys. You got Preston Smith, who's getting a little long in the tooth.
He turns 31 later this year. I mean, he could start going downhill fast. Maybe he won't, but he could.
Yeah, certainly. And
a lot of miles on him, you know?
Yeah, and early on the season, he'll probably be pretty good for him. And they'll, you know, they won't be dropping him, I wouldn't imagine, because, I mean, that's probably the premier guy. Maybe one of those young guys kind of step up and get some stuff done. They showed a little bit of promise last year with some of the young guys out there, but, to start the season without without Gary is tough. So, I think they're going to have to bring this guy along fast. And he's going to have to be something right off the bat, or it's going to be a long first half of the season. They're going to have to cover really good, and I'll beat the dead horse, and no one likes to hear it, but they drafted a young man last year that I think looks really good on the outside with some leverage. Quay Walker, I'm telling you, with his unexcited about taking on blocks as he is, I would throw him on the edge and let that guy run, because he runs like a deer. And I think, a little bit, you saw as the season went on, they threw him out there a little bit more and they blitzed him a little bit more, and you saw him. You can teach guys to bend, but you can't teach guys to run 4.6 Quay Walker 4.5 guy, something like that.
I've got to look it up. Yeah, it's got to be in the four. He was like in the low 4.5s, I think. Yeah,
so whatever it is, he's pretty fast.
Yeah, and at the owners' meetings, Eric, LaFleur, he didn't come out and say how they were going to do it, but he said, they're going to have him doing more things, which I think is a euphemism for rushing the passer. I mean, like we were talking on the phone last night, it's not like they're going to stick him out at corner, right? So right. When they say different things, they mean rush the passer. So, maybe we'll see him doing a little edge rushing. It'll be interesting in camp. I don't know I'm guessing that's not something they'd show in mini camp. Because, it's only open, in the OTAs, there's only like 3 or 4 practices open over that month. But in training camp, to see if they put him in for any one-on-one pass rushes early in camp, that'll be really interesting to see, because that'll be a sign then that they're teaching them to do that and they're going to have him do some of it.
Yeah, and they can run, they can blitz him inside. They can do blitzes, things like that, because he's got those long arms. He's got plenty of height with some speed and quickness. That's pretty endearing. And you know what? They brought him on slow last year, and that's the right thing. But what I really liked about him as the season went on is they utilized him more. They got him rushing the passer a little bit. And I think a lot of times rookies kind of fall off as the season goes. But I think he came around, and I think there were some good things that he did. He still, he's not going to mix it up and stick his nose in there. But, heck, I don't know if maybe that's not what you want him to do, just run around and make tackles. Really the reality with him is he's got so much. He's just dripping with talent. I don't know why they don't – I would expect him to rush the passer more this year. And that will probably be very evident early on. Until Gary comes back. But this young man from Iowa, the nice thing about it is he's acclimated to the climate. He's not a Florida guy that you're going to come up here and make him play in November and December. So he's got that. He's a young man. He's probably not done growing. He's certainly, he's 270-some. I think it's going to be hard-pressed for him to stay under 280 as he develops, and they're going to get him in the weight room, some people were saying, well, he's only got 17 out of 225. Well, there's not a lot of 21-year-olds people walking around the street that can take 225 and put it up 25 times. A lot of times those guys that are doing that are all 23, 24, and there is a lot to be said. And a lot of people just don't understand. When you're an older man, you're 23, you're 24, that's 2-3 extra years in the weight room. And this guy coming in as a freshman was 220. So that's he's already had a lot of growth, and he's going to continue to grow yet. And the nice thing about it is that second contract, he's going to be 26. That's pretty appealing.
Yeah. It's, you're, your former college teammate, Brian Gutekunst, he likes these edge guys big, man. I mean, Smith is 265. This guy's 272.
265? Holy cow. 265, and he's hanging, he's barely touching the scale. That guy, he's 275, 280.
275. He's listed at, yeah, you're right. He's listed at 265. Gary's in the 270s, I think. It's not, they're not messing around with these 250-pound, 245-pound outside linebackers. I mean, they want guys who can stop the run too. That's why they got to take him in the first round, because you just, it's really, it's tough to find a 6'5", 270 guy who can both stop the run and rush pretty well. I mean, they go early in the drafts.
And they can run. I mean, that's the other key part with Van Ness is you can't, it's really difficult to teach speed, you know, and geez, that's, you know, 4.6 40, was he 4.58, 4.6, whatever. Yeah, he's right in there. You know, his three cone indicates he's an outside guy. You know, he's certainly not an inside backer. A little slow on that end of it. But if here was the interesting part when you looked at his RAS, and I saw this on Saturday, his RAS was exactly the same as Nick Bosa. Now, we're not saying he's a Nick Bosa, but just as far as athletic ability, he's in that range. And I think that says a lot about the young man. Now, whether or not he can continue to progress, he's going to have to. Seems like I watched it. So I went back and watched a little YouTube and stuff, and he seems to have a little bit of a mean streak. And one of the things is for a young guy that's gained a lot of weight, you know, I think they said he put on 40 some odd pounds since he got this, is learning how to play with that weight. And it takes a little bit of time, and he's young, and I think he's going to be, he'll be all right. We'll be, you know, we never know, but it's interesting to see. And I think there's some similarities between him and Gary. Now, Gary is a little bit different because he's so powerful, but I think what this guy, you know, brings to the table, he's got some leverage. And certainly, you know, you had a guy like Kenny Clark who came in at 20, 21 years old. I think he was 20 when he got drafted.
Yeah,
and,
I think he was 20 when he got drafted.
It took him a year or two to be really good. You know, it's, you got a 21-year-old kid playing with, you know, grown-ass man on this thing? I think we can, you know, playing against grown-ass men, that takes some intestinal fortitude, and you're going to have to, he's going to have to play. But I like that. I like the guys I think I like the most of the whole draft when you go down through it. They got that D lineman later on in the draft. I really like that kid from Auburn. Strong.
Colby Wooden, yeah.
Yeah, a 4.79 for a D tackle. I think you got to like that, you know. Probably
273. I mean, he's no bigger, he's no heavier than Van Ness.
No, but, you know, a little shorter, so he's a little bit stockier, but he's got some speed. You know, I think he's short. His three cone was 7.49, which is pretty good. He's powerful. He's over 9 feet in the long or the broad jump, you know, and his vertical, I don't think he, from the stats that I see, I didn't see much there. But big wingspan, you know, 80-inch wingspan, and certainly – you got to like that speed with a guy with his hand in the dirt that's going to be running, you know, 4.7s, 4.8s. That's pretty good for a guy like that. And hopefully he can be kind of that rotational player that can get out there. Now they got Wyatt, that they have to, you know, hopefully he comes out and has a good, better sophomore year than a freshman year. So you got some youth in that spot there, and they're asking those guys to move around a little bit. You know, there's the one disappointing thing, you know, Goody likes the big outside guys. I like the big inside guys, you know, the 6'4", 320 guys. Those are the kind of guys I like at one and two techniques against the run. But, you know, this defense, they're kind of going to be one gappers, and they're going to try to cut down running backs by movement rather than just piling up big piles in the middle. But, you know, it's interesting to see how he's going to fit in. That kid I kind of really liked. And then there was the tight ends. And we really talk about that is, you know, coming into the draft, that was definitely a weakness. And some people were afraid that maybe they would go with a tight end in the first round and all this nonsense about that. But, you know, to get the the kid, the second rounder there, I thought, no, that's a pretty good sized kid. 6'5", 250, 4'6". You know, that's a, that adds a little, he's got some size to probably block a little bit. He looks more like a Kelsey, more than a big guy. You know, you think of guys like Chimura and things like that, but this guy isn't far off as far as his size, and, but certainly looks like he's going to be good of being able to be athletic downfield, which is really important. And I think for a young quarterback to have that outlet, I think is really going to be important for him, and to attack the middle of the field. They really didn't have that last year. So then they got the other kid too.
It's not just they didn't have it last year. I mean, when's the last time they've had, you know, really good tight end play? They've had spurts of it here and there, you know, Jared Cook for 1 year. But this is – they drafted two guys in the first three rounds. That's a pretty big investment. They rolled the dice injury-wise a little bit. Musgrave had the knee injury last year and missed most of the season. It was an MCL, and he eventually – I think he eventually had surgery on it. And Tucker Kraft, the South Dakota State, the third rounder, he had one of those ankle injuries where they had to do that ligament tightening procedure. He only missed like two or three games, and his numbers were way down from his from the previous year. But he came back, surprisingly fast from that injury. So anyway, they rolled the dice injury wise. But they're at least big talented guys. We'll see if they can play or not. But there is talent there.
Yeah, and they both seem to be able to run. Now the kid from South Dakota State, he isn't as fast, but shows the ability to catch and you know, these guys are kind of like a, you know, jumbo sized kind of Tonyan. You know, Tonyan's not the big fat big monster tight end, but more of the pass catcher, more of the hybrid tight ends. You know, I guess Travis Kelce would be, you know, someone that you could probably say that these guys are kind of like. I don't know how good they're going to be at the end of the line of scrimmage blocking or not. That's going to be fun to see. You got the ability to move and catch the ball with a big target like that. I think for a young quarterback, I think it's something they got to have. He can keep standing up.
Here's a question for you. What's this going to look like? They're going to have – I could see a lot of snaps next year where Aaron Jones is out there, and then they're going to either have two tight ends and two receivers or three receivers and one tight end, and two of them are going to be second-year guys, and the other ones are going to be rookies.
Yeah, I think
what's this going to look like?
I think you're going to see a lot of last season I didn't count it up, but in a lot of the games, they were multiple tight end. You know, the 21 formation is kind of gone. They had a little bit of 21 and 22 formation last year, two running backs, two tight ends, but there was a lot of 21 and even 31 formations.
How about interceptions and route errors and, miscommunications and all that? How much of that are we going to, I'm guessing we're going to see some plays that are like, wow, that's good. There's a lot of talent. And then there's going to be, some horrendous mistakes too, I would think.
Well, I think, here's the good thing is they got two, possibly three good receivers coming back that are seasoned guys. Now they're, they got the three rookies, right? And certainly you're going to have, you're going to be able to stretch and take the top off the field with Watson. You're going to have Dobbs, who could be that intermediate to sideline, from the numbers to the sideline guy. So if you can stretch the defense and you can pull safeties away and make cornerbacks play the numbers and out, now you got that big hole in the middle of the field. So I expect to see a lot of tight end crosses, little arrows, things like that to the middle part of the field. Again, young quarterback, let's not make them think. Have a guy running free right in the middle that you can't possibly miss and just play pitch and catch until he gets his confidence up and gets playing and starts feeling good. Now the good news about that is it plays right into what they want to do offensively. The safeties are going to start coming down hard if you got a tight end running free. And what does that do to your guys who are running deep? So when you got Watson out there who's going to be drawing to a safety all the time. All of a sudden, the safeties get tired of tackling a tight end for first downs. They're going to go down there and try and knock that guy's head off or pick it off. Now you got Watson who's going to be running, you know, one-on-one up the sideline. And I really like the way that looks. And I also that, you know, what does that do for the running game? I think it does tremendous amount for the running game because now safeties, backers have to be looking laterally for that dang tight end coming across the middle and not looking straight ahead at which one of those big uggers are going to come and knock them down. So I really like what they're doing and what their thought process is offensively. And I think, quite frankly, without Rodgers there, I think we're going to see really what they want to run. And I think they're going to run a lot of short passes. I think they're going to run a lot of, you know, so that plays well for the tight end. Get them open on a linebacker or a safety, especially a 6'5 guy on a safety. That's a pretty good matchup. You like that. Throw it up there. Let them catch it and fall down. It's 6 yards. Good deal. Run the ball. I think this is there. We're going to see, hopefully, what we were kind of was expecting to see out of LaFleur and his offense. That's going to mimic more of what you see coming off the West Coast there from San Fran and from L.A. And, you know, so you're going to dink and dunk it and then hit the home run ball with Watson up the sideline. I really think that's a recipe for a really good offense. It's really sound, even with a young quarterback.
You think they're going to be any good in 2023? I got my thought.
I do.
What do you consider good, I guess? What kind of record are you?
I would say if they could come out of the chute and win 8 games, 9 games, I would consider that a pretty good season. And they might be better, but I think that's one of the – that's and I expect them to crescendo as the season goes on, by the end of the season, to be pretty tough. The key to that whole deal is they got to be good on D. They have to be better than they were last year on D. Last year they had on paper, they thought they had a really good, talented football team on defense, and it just blew up in their face. So it's either was a lack of players. Maybe they overestimated how good their players were, or the guy up in the box, or now he's on the sideline, I guess. It just didn't get it done. And you saw, at least I saw, and probably a lot of people saw too, is they kind of shifted on defense a little bit as the season went on. And I think they're going to probably start off the season with playing a little bit less zone and maybe be a little bit more aggressive up front. And I think that's what they're probably going to need to do because they're not real big. They seem to be fast, or at least they're not big in the middle. And they had a linebacker that they drafted that wasn't exactly excited about tackling A and B gap runs. So
that'd be Quay Walker.
Yep. You know, and they didn't have Campbell for a while there. So that certainly hurt.
But injury's going to happen. I mean, they're going to lose somebody, you know, so you got to look at that and get through it.
But they should be pretty good on the perimeter. You know, I think Jair Alexander had kind of a rough start, but he came down strong. And I think with Stokes back now, he should be healthy. So I think they're going to be pretty solid there. And if they can get some better play out of their safeties, I think they'll be in great shape. You know, the problem was they had so many runners running free last year that safeties blew coverages and safeties weren't playing very aggressive at times. You know, and I think it's going to be better. The interesting to see, you know, if they do end up bringing up Amos, because I know people were saying he, you know, maybe he lost a step or half a step, but boy, I really liked the way he filled on the in the alley. I thought he was just a kind of a leader back there, and he didn't make a lot of mistakes. When he did get beat, it was a physical mistake, not a mental mistake. So I don't know. I think coming out of the chute, they're gonna have their hands full. There's no question. But I think the reality is that if they're going to be, you know, a 9-10 win game, 10-win season, they're going to have to play much, much better on defense and get lucky. And hopefully that offense comes around by week 7 or 8.
I don't think they're going to – I shouldn't – right now I don't see how they're going to be able to afford Amos. If you take all their cap spending that they have to do, draft class – practice squad, $5 million going into the season for in-season moves, all that other stuff, they're about $1 million over right now. Now, on paper, they're not, but if the season if this was more the work of the week of the opener, they'd be $1 million over. They got a couple other maneuver things they can do to pick up, I don't know, $3 or $4 million maybe. So maybe they could sign Amos, but I'm not sure because, you know, I think they're looking at only signing minimum wage guys. If they want to get a veteran backup quarterback, I'm thinking they need to get a veteran backup, you know, so even there, they're going to have to spend, you know, $1 to $2 million. So I'll be interested to see whether they can do all that. I'm thinking 6 or 7 wins for them, but they do play in a bad division. So that helps them. And if they're, you know, if we've seen some years where, you know, 8 and 9 or 9 and 8 can get you in the playoffs. So, you know, I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm thinking Love's just going to make a few too many mistakes. Even if he looks pretty good, he's going to make a few too many mistakes, and they're, you know, 6 or 7 is where they'll top out. But I could be dead wrong. If the defense is what you just, you know, what you see as at least a possibility, then that would change things.
Yeah, they will really be sunk if Love were to go down with a long-term injury, you know, a couple, 3-4 weeks. That would really be unfortunate. But I like his athleticism. I like the way he runs around a little bit, and you know, they seem pretty confident in him, and I believe that, you know, from the little bit that we saw last season, I thought he looked different. He looked like a quarterback. He looked poised in the pocket. And when he did move around, I thought he looked okay. And I think the growth factor is going to happen. Yep, you're right. He's going to throw some ugly picks. There's no question about it. He's going to miss some stuff. But if they play that thing tight to the vest and try to play stuff close to the line of scrimmage and try to bust one up the sideline here and there, I think they'll be okay. You know, you just got to keep the ball going forward, stay ahead of the sticks, and life will be okay. You know, especially if they run the ball the way they should, they'll be fine.
Yeah, and I would assume they're going to run a lot. Like, they're going to be approaching 50%, I bet, which would probably put them in the top 3 or 4, you know, for highest run to pass ratio in the league. Because I think back to 08, man, McCarthy had Rodgers on training wheels that year. So I bet it'll be the same with Love this season. So the way they're going to play is to try to, you know, control the ball with the run, you know, and try to, you know, improve with the young quarterback and passing game as the season goes on and win games with their defense getting stops. I just, I'm saying guilty till proven innocent on defense.
Yeah. And that's probably a pretty good way to go. Yeah. It will certainly be a very interesting start to the season. That's for sure. You know, they got to come out rip snorting mad on defense, or, you know, because they got to wait. You know, when Gary comes back, you know, he changes that football team. There's no question about it. And when he comes back, hopefully they're not too far in the weeds. And I think playoffs might be a stretch. You know, the good news is they get 2 first round picks next year. You know, it's the next 3-4 seasons. If you're looking 3-4 years down the road, it doesn't look too bad. You know, they got to get through this year. And how's the cap look next year, Pete? You're a capologist.
It's bad, but, you know, they'll be cutting David Bakhtiari, I would assume that'll save, because right now they're way over, but, you know, it's often like that. They'll cut Bakhtiari. That'll save them 20 mil. You know, they'll be able to do plenty of maneuvering, but I think it's not as bad as this year. So they'll probably have a little more flexibility, but it's going to take one more year to really clear their cap. But they, you know, if they drafted it all well at all last year and this year, you know, they're going to have some young talent that's starting to hit its stride by 2024. So if Love is good, I would assume that they'd be a playoff contender if Love is any good by 24.
Yeah. You know, and the reality is with everything that's, you know, the receivers are going to be a year newer, or a year smarter, excuse me, and their tight ends, you know, they're probably going to have to be in the market for a running back pretty quick. they're getting a little long, and, you know, how many more years are you going to get out of 33?
Yeah.
And
yeah, this could be it for Aaron Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's tough sledding. But I think they can, as long as they can block, I think they got a bunch of young, good, solid offensive linemen there. I really like the way that's shaping up. And I think they feel good about it too, judging by what they did in the draft. So they, you know, I think they feel like they got enough guys up front that can get it done, and they just got to stay healthy. And, you know, and they'll probably be in the market for another tackle, unless that big, your favorite Packer player turns into something, like Caleb Jones, that big guy. Man, talk about a galoot. Holy mother.
He is huge. He is a huge man. You know, it's funny, and we go through all these things and, you know, all these possibilities, and, you know, they're, if the talent pans out, there'll be talent there. And it still comes down to whether number 10 is any good or not. And quarterbacks are hard to find, and most of them fail. And it still all comes down to how good that guy is.
Yep, that's for sure.
Or how good he isn't.
You know, how long you look around the league. I mean, the NFC North is like, now that Aaron Rodgers is gone, is devoid of quarterbacks. You know, that poor NFC. AFC West especially is stacked. You know, there's some, you know, AFC South, that is something that could be interesting to watch too, with all those young guys. You know, so it's really a division that can be, anyone can have it, I think.
All right. Well, we've hit our time limit here, Eric. So we'll call it a night. But just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Odds are we probably won't be back now until after the first preseason game in August. So you can look for us then. But until then, take care, everybody. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast with Pete Doherty and Eric Baranchek.